The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I'm going to get to this point and then I'm going to stop.
Looking forward to it.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We'll hang out with Mick Schaefer in the 1 o'clock hour. Whether you like it or not, KSHB 41 Sports Director was on Sunday Sound Off last night with him. And Todd Lebo, Kevin Puryear was on as well. So Kevin Puryear making his Sunday Sound Off debut. So there was a lot of Mizzou represented. And Kevin Puryear picked KU to go to the Final Four out of the West. So there you go. He was like, no, they're an elite team. I don't care what Jason and Todd say, those dumb idiots, which is perfectly fine. I don't know why he said that on TV. It was a little strong.
Seems unnecessarily cruel.
Totally unnecessarily cruel. We'll talk with Mick Schaefer coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We will reveal a bracket, a region in our bracket of sound with Mick Schaefer and do a little learn funniest best. But right now, we will unveil our first bracket in the Bracket of Sound. Also want to remind you that go to 810WHB.com, click on the Bracket Challenge icon, get signed up, and you can win some incredible prizes that are there. And the madness is beginning. It is beginning. Begins tomorrow night with the play-in, or first round, whatever they want to call it.
I noticed on the official NCAA.com bracket, it says first four, yeah. And then the first round just says first round.
I know.
I think we won.
I think they changed it back.
I think we won.
But it's sort of confusing because they changed it back, but they didn't go then and retroactively change things to where teams lost in the second round, but that was actually the first game they played.
That's annoying.
It was a second round loss. It was like, they went to the second round. No, they didn't. They lost in the... No, the first round was the first four. Shut up. If you feel that bad for them, then don't make it a first four. Okay, if you feel that bad to where you have to call it the first round. But regardless, that's a complete and total aside that we don't have to worry about anymore. But 810WHB.com is where you can worry about how well your bracket is doing to see if you can win some of the prizes. You can also host your office pool bracket challenge with your friends there at 810WHB.com. So you can still have the prizes you have amongst your friends and be eligible to win the prizes with 810WHB.com. It's brought to you by Twin Peaks, Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC, and Olathe Kia, Smoke and Fire, and Hy-Vee. So, the bracket of sound that we unveil region number one today. Our four regions, the NCAA tournament names their regions with the South, the East, the West, the Midwest. We do not do that. We go by, I don't know, just things that happen over the course of the year that we feel like are appropriate names for a region.
Appropriate is a very strange, specific yes. word in this instance, but I like it.
So the South region is what we would like to call the Jabroni region. The Midwest region is what we are calling Kicky Leaks. That was fun for a little bit with the whole behind the scenes and Dustin Colquitt and Tommy Townsend and Harry Butker.
Harry Butker.
The West is what we would like to call McNipples.
M lowercase c capital N.
That's right. McNipples. For some reason, mixed nipples became a theme this last year.
Sure did.
Don't know why.
Well.
And I'm hoping it doesn't continue.
Bad news.
It ends today.
It does not.
And the East, the final region, is the It needed to be said region. It just needed to be said. Needed to be played. Whatever. Needed to be said region is the East.
They're not like homogeneously themed, but I do think that the themes of these regions
pretty
do
close.
Come through in pretty good
close.
Ways. And man, I mean, look, am I prepared for the backlash that the hardworking, talented, handsome selection committee is going to get? Sure, of course I am. But I'm looking over the bracket here again today. I think we can stand by our work proudly.
Yeah. After we reveal the entire bracket, then we will be answering questions from the assembled public.
Yeah, we will have a press conference. You're actually leaving the state during that. We'll get you on Zoom. We'll do a Zoom press conference.
I am out. All right, so let's get into it. Let's reveal the bracket.
Starting in the Jabroni region.
Jabroni region. That's the South with the number one overall seed, the Alabama Crimson Tide. And the number one overall seed in our bracket of sound, it is this gym.
Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
Worthwhile number one.
Yep.
Strong finish. Strong. Was not even in the tournament at one point this year. And then just came on like gangbusters and undefeated in the last, I don't know, 3 weeks or so.
Huge resurgence for the word jabroni based off that. A big national moment helped propel Travis Kelce to SNL and the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. That is a worthy number one.
That is exactly right. Jabroni, Alabama, will be playing the winner of Texas A&M Corpus Christi and Southeast Missouri State. Texas A&M Corpus Christi represented by this sound.
Alex Rodriguez, you stink, and I don't like you. Big Poppy, I like you, though.
Gotta love the Philly fans.
Mild jabroni behavior.
Yep.
With a great tone.
Southeast Missouri State, represented by this sound.
I'm so grateful of my time, fellas. That was my opportunity. You know, coaches got a shelf. Some coaches got 50 years. Some coaches got 12. Mine was 6. Good. I got to tell you, we had a meeting. Say, coach, things are not going well. No shit. Ray Charles can see that, brother. And they were good. And Scott Woodward is a friend of mine today. Really, really, a lot of respect for the way they handled me.
So and, what's next?
Well, I got to tell you this, though. Say, coach, you got $17.1 million on your contract. We're going to give it to you. I said, what time you want me to leave and what door you want me out of, brother?
God, I love that O.
I'm second-guessing myself. We made it through two lines.
I mean, that is a 16 seed. This was a strong field. This might have been the strongest field we've ever had.
It's a great field.
Unlike the actual NCAA tournament when everybody's saying, oh, it's so weak. All right, the 8-9 in the Jabroni region. The 8-seed Maryland is represented by this.
I think she picked all the dog mascots, though, so I'm not sure that's a great excuse for
no,
you.
No, it is. It was bad, but I have updated my strategy this year, and hopefully this time I can beat a 12-year-old. I feel like something was cut off there at the end.
No? I don't think so.
You got beat by a 12-year-old, and now you're updating your strategy to try to beat a 12-year-old.
I mean, that is fair. It's what I was trying to do.
What could possibly be missing there?
Don't know.
West Virginia, the 9 seed, is represented by this.
Nobody cares.
There we go. Nobody cares what the 9 seed is in West Virginia. Nobody cares.
That's a perfect pairing right there. Woo! West Virginia's got big nobody cares energy. An 8-9.
That's a strong 9. I mean, that is part of the show. That's been a big part of the show for a while.
Selection committee, I think, just got bored of the audio. You know, I mean, since we've been seeing them, they've been a quality program.
You're saying it sort of slid in the last couple of months where Jabroni came out of nowhere. All right. The 5-12 matchup in the South/Jabroni region. The 5-seed San Diego State is this sound.
It's really good. I think that might be your best impression work. This is also not me asking you to go through your Rolodex because I do want to keep some listeners for a little longer.
No. It's there's a lot of bad impressions.
That one's
that
good,
one
though.
I will take pride in.
Yeah, you should.
That one I will take pride in.
You should, man. That's incredible.
There's only been one person that has criticized me on that.
Yeah,
and it was somebody who hates fun who said.
Well, I guess we're not going to know who that is. We're going to go to break.
Still have never found out the one person that hates fun that does not like and criticizes me on the Denny Matthews impression. That is San Diego State. It's a good team. It's a good, strong team.
Great squad.
Charleston. Ooh, a lot of upset. A lot of people liking Charleston to go to the Sweet 16. In fact, I have Charleston. in the Sweet 16.
Ooh.
To knock off San Diego State and then either Virginia or Furman. Because if Charleston wins, I'm sure as heck not picking Virginia to go to the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. So Charleston, the 12 seed, is this sound.
More, 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 more. More, 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 more. Okay, more. I got more. More. I need the heart out. Pour your heart out, boy.
Need more. Need more.
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 We want more. Let's do this.
I want Charleston to win more. More, more, more. Again, people can complain about the seeding. This was a strong field. It was tough to seed these things, okay? While Moore was a nice team, they just didn't do enough early.
That's right. And look, the 5-12, there's always a chance of those upsets. Like you said, I would not be surprised to see more in the second round of the NCAA tournament.
Virginia, the 4 seed, is represented by this sound. But we also would have accepted Uranus.
We sure would have.
And Virginia does play like ass sometimes.
I really
so that
do.
Is a perfect combination there. By the way, that was about a planet. Okay, that was about a planet. That's all I'm saying.
Which one?
Jupiter. Pluto. It's not a planet anymore. It's just a big old rock.
I'd rather launch myself into space than watch Virginia basketball.
The 13 seed, Furman. Furman. What's their mascot?
The Paladins.
Paladins. The Paladins represented by this butte.
Here's the 1-0. Swung on. There it goes. Deep left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. But caught. At the wall. Caught by Tapia.
Oh, John Sterling. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. That's the... There were one of two John Sterling home run calls that... We only went with one, because the other one was, and it is gone. No, well, he's heading back to the, what did I do wrong?
What did I do wrong?
This one was better, because.
I think that one was unfairly cut.
Oh, really?
Well, we only went with one John Sterling one, and this one was better with, but caught. I like this one, but caught.
This one won the John Sterling Conference Tournament.
That's right.
And so they got the automatic bid.
Might have been a lower seed in the conference tournament.
Yeah, they were the two. That was the one. They just won the head-to-head.
Was Scott Foster reffing that game?
Yes.
Probably. The sixth seed, it is Creighton, the Blue Jays, in the Jabroni region, and it's represented by this sound.
Yeah, Sucre Wolodarski. My name's spelled Sucrewolodarski. But I'm cool with it, and I watch from the corner.
I love that skit.
I love the song.
I love the song. Did you not listen to them? It's going to be spelled out here in the next part of the song. My name is Sucrewolodarski. The spelling of your name is not what we were talking about. Plus the watch from the corner. The 11 seed NC State. Ooh, this is a matchup.
This is a heck of a game.
By the way, and the selection committee did not do this on purpose.
Nope, this is just how the algorithm spat it out.
This is just, I promise you, we put this thing together. We were at the end. We're like, wow, we've got a matchup there of 6 and 11 mm-hmm. versus these two things. That was Sucrewolodarski in Saturday Night Live with Travis Kelce. The 11 seed, it is NC State, and it's this sound.
In high school, he was an honors student, and I got kicked off the team because I failed French. And English, too, but French sounds way better. And then when we were in college, I actually got kicked off the team because I tested positive for marijuana. So it just goes to show you, if you smoke weed and you're bad at school, you can win the Super Bowl twice.
Saturday Night Live against each other
yep.
in the first round, and that was not done on purpose.
But we know we're going to have one of them advance. That feels right. I just look. Some of these games are going to be great.
Yep, and they'll be matching up against the 3-14 that is the next up on our Jabroni region. The 3 seed Baylor is represented by this.
Let's ride. Let's ride. Let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
Per Ian Rappaport, former Raiders quarterback Jarrett Stidham is signing a 2-year, $10 million deal with the Broncos, including a $5 million guaranteed and $4 million more in upside.
Riding all the way to Denver. By the way, why did he get more and more sad at the end of there in that promo?
He felt
because he realized he was going to play for the Broncos.
Broncos country.
He was leaving.
Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride. That is a 3-seed Baylor. Strong three. It's taking on the 14-seed UC Santa Barbara. And it's this sound.
Hold on. This works.
Josh doing his best turkey call impression. Or he's just trying to stop me and Matt Derrick from talking.
I mean, always.
Not always.
Yeah, because Matt
just on Fridays.
Yeah, that's right. Always for me. Fridays for me and Matt. Combined. But really, it's not even with Matt. Matt will just simply let you start to talk because we both stopped. When if you want to get us to stop talking, just do the turkey.
Do
right
a turkey
now,
call.
Right now, I'm just continuing to talk and continuing to talk.
I'm going to have to get some various.
That's not how this works.
There it is. Nice job, Beards.
Beards has some power now.
All right. The 7-10 matchup in the Jabroni region. Missouri, the 7-seed, and it is this sound. Oh, it's whoa. Kevin.
All right, Kevin.
Oh, it's still Kevin.
Kevin!
I love that they got that to represent Mizzou. I think that feels right.
Again, random. You never know. You never know. Oh, and Kevin Puryear was on with us last night, so how about that? That is the 7-seed. The 10-seed Utah State is this.
Thinking about finishing your bachelor's degree? Take a bold step forward during a University of St. Mary virtual info session in the first ever MLB draft lottery. The Pittsburgh Steelers won the number one overall pick. The highlight of the local football world, K-State hosting TCU for College Game Day as KU State. Remains a dot. What did I say, K-State?
State.
I said wow. K-State. On the other side of the break, we'll begin to move ever closer to Chiefs press conferences. And this is what happens when you don't write out your entire sports center.
M-I-Z, baby. Let's get that sucker out of here. Let's get that
you're
sound launched to the moon. I would much rather hear you shouting, Kevin.
The number 2 seed in the Jabroni region, Arizona, that I have winning the national championship, Arizona, in my bracket. It is represented, the Arizona Wildcats, represented by this sound.
Looks downfield. Mahomes avoids the rush. Mahomes rolling out on 3rd and 4. He's going to go for the... Yes, he's got the marker. He's got the out-of-bounds to stop it. Looping the right side. He gets out-of-bounds. Osai there. And a flag's coming in to put him 15 yards closer. A late hit. His body spilled out along that Cincinnati sideline.
A foul. Unnecessary roughness. Defense number 58.
And that 15 yards. 45-yard attempt. Looking for the lead. Butker. Snap. Placement. Butker's kick. All the way. It's good. He's got it. Kansas City in front with 3 seconds remaining.
It's a line drive. It bounces at the 24.
Retrieved by Irwin. He's going to swing it over to Taylor. Not down yet. He is now.
And it is over. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl for the third time in 4 years.
The Kansas City Chiefs have won it. Heading to the Super Bowl for the third time in 4 years. The Chiefs win the AFC Championship.
Strong 2-seed Arizona. And that doesn't even have the, March Madness. Ball is tipped in the background, but it's a little Celine Dion. The 15-seed Princeton. Princeton, represented by this.
How did it feel when Derwin James absolutely... powerbomb the out of you on national television.
Not my first time getting powerbombed, so...
That's right. I used to powerbomb you all the time growing up.
You actually put me through the wooden floor in our living room.
I forgot about that.
I remember it. The feeling of knowing that Dad and Mom were going to come home to a hole in the floor was not the best feeling in the world.
All they did was move the couch over the hole.
Amazing.
Floor. A lot of Kelsey represented in the Jabroni region.
Rightfully so.
Absolutely.
Rightfully so.
There you go. That is the Jabroni region, the South, the number one overall seed, Alabama. And we'll see what those teams end up doing throughout the tournament. We will unveil.
The 49ers have signed former Eagles defensive tackle Javon Hargrave to a 4-year, $84 million deal.
Okay.
DT market is spicy, but he was an unrestricted free agent. That's why he's changing teams. So if you're wondering about Chris Jones, I don't think any of these deals have changed the Chris Jones format, which is good for the Chiefs.
We had a question last night on Sunday Sound Off with the Times Yours. The question was to me of Daron Payne signing his contract. Does that price the Chiefs out of Chris Jones? Or like, no, 4 years, $90 million? No, not at all. I don't know, $28 million signing bonus, 60 guaranteed over 4 years? No. That would be like the floor. That would even be below the floor. That's the basement of Chris Jones, what he would sign for. So, no, I don't think that would price him out at all. They can afford Chris Jones. They're going to get it done.
Diana Russini, there's been some talk about this player back and forth a little bit today. She's got it official. Right tackle Mike McGlinchey is expected to sign with the Denver Broncos, per sources.
Okay.
So they are working on their offensive line in front of Russell Wilson. They're also, I guess, maybe, you know what? Let me say that again. They're working on their offensive line in front of Jarrett Stidham.
Thank you.
My apologies.
Yep. Get it right next time. We will unveil a different region coming up with Mick Schaefer in the 1 o'clock hour and some Learn Funniest Best all along the way. And as news continues to break in the beginning of the negotiating period for free agency, that the deals don't become official until Wednesday. As news breaks with that, we'll let you know. Calais Campbell has been released. He's out there. Plenty of people have wondered if the Chiefs would be a match for one Calais Campbell. And, you know, we'll see if any other deals are done, signed, trades, things like that. After Jalen Ramsey was traded over the weekend to the Miami Dolphins for a third rounder and a tight end named Hunter Long.
One career catch, I think.
And I found out there was a tight end named Hunter Long.
Uh-huh.
And I'll feel bad if it's like, yeah, but dude, he went to Lee Summit North. He's a local guy.
Mm.
Like, oh, sorry. But I found out there's a tight end for the Dolphins named Hunter Long. That's now a tight end for the Los Angeles Rams and a third rounder because the Dolphins don't need any draft picks.
He's like, born in New Hampshire. You're good.
Great. Dolphins are sitting there going, we got a 2 and a 3. What do we do with these draft picks? Do we really want to wait till April to use them? What if we just use our draft picks now? How can we get rid of the second round and the third round picks? Let's do it. Jalen Ramsey, bring him in because we've got cash to spend. We're burning a hole in our pocket with Tua's rookie deal and then whatever's going to happen after that with Tua. So go get Jalen Ramsey. We'll see what happens with the Dolphins there. So we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. 913-912-4810 is the text line. We'll hear from KU, K-State, Mizzou with their opponents being announced in the NCAA tournament and what the regions look like for them and what the path to a Final Four or a second weekend looks like. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, get into more college basketball and breaking NFL news next.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the #1 dispensary in Missouri and the #1 loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
All right, what'd you learn this week in Briscoe?
Or in the beards is a bleep head.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
913-912-4810 is the text line. Be a part of the show, part of the conversation. Text coming in. We were talking with Matt Tate, beginning of the 11 o'clock hour, as talking about the path for KU and then the bracket overall, and a number of texts coming in. Stop the whining about KU.
Okay, we won't talk about KU's seating anymore. It's 12:30 on a Monday. We should all move on to something else.
I do have a and I
talk
said
spring
it,
training.
I said it with Matt Tate. I do have a rule that, you know, when the bracket comes out, don't care about who the teams that did not make the tournament are. Win more games. I do care about seating and lines and things like that. And then in the first hour or so, pick some nits. Maybe it'll spill over. But after that, time to talk the bracket, the road, who they have, because there's no changing it, all of that stuff.
We're just such notorious KU homers.
That is true, though.
Just always want to make excuses and feel sorry for Kansas. I'm not saying we should feel sorry for Kansas. We're saying that the selection committee is being inconsistent, and it resulted in not a good draw for KU.
Also, and it sucks for Kansas City, too.
Right. That's the other thing. Hey, look, if KU would have ended up in the, I was looking at the bracket of sound region,
KU would have ended up in the Jabroni region. Oh, wait, sorry.
If KU would have ended up in Kiki Leaks instead of the West,
with McNipples.
Vice versa here. If K-State would have been on a path to play in Kansas City, this would be a little less aggravating to me. But it's aggravating for KU because they did what they were supposed to do to punch that ticket. I know they got whooped by Texas twice in a matter of what felt like about a day and a half. But, man, I thought that strength of schedule and quad one wins and all that were supposed to matter.
Well, the Arizona UCLA one
also. It just feels so bad for poor Kansas.
I know.
That's what we sound like, I guess.
Well, always to me, you do.
fair.
The Arizona and UCLA one is also a little bit. So it goes to I don't think the committee cared about the conference tournaments all that much, if at all. I really don't, because. And I think that matters for conversation of as we talk about it as the years progress. But who knows, because there's never really any consistency because it's a new group of people there and new values and new what they, you know, weigh as being more important than something else. But I think it was pretty obvious that the conference tournament didn't matter for a number of teams. KU and Houston, the conference tournament did not matter unless Houston was so far ahead of KU. Because KU in the conference tournament beat a 6 seed, beat a 9 seed, and lost to a 2 seed. And Houston beat 2 teams that are not in the tournament and lost to an 8 seed in their tournament, but still got a higher ranking. So they clearly felt that they were much further ahead of KU, that beating a 5 and a 9 or a 6 and a 9 seed in their conference tournament did not catapult them over. Or they just didn't care. Right. About what took place in the conference tournaments. Because Arizona, while finishing behind UCLA in the regular season, they talked about non-conference strength of schedule. UCLA's non-conference strength of schedule is 114. Arizona's 57. Arizona's 9-2 in quad one games. UCLA is 8-5 in quad one games. And Arizona just won the Pac-12 conference championship against UCLA. And UCLA is a higher team than Arizona is. They didn't flip those teams. Even though if you go by quad one wins, Arizona's better. They talked about the importance of non-conference scheduling. Arizona's much better, 114-57, and they won the conference tournament. So maybe their eyes, yeah, the conference tournament is what got them close to UCLA. That's fine, whatever. But there's just some things along the way. But look, there are some things to complain about. That's fine. I'm more concerned, honestly, about Kansas City, and it would have been nice. I'm really rooting for Iowa State. I want Iowa State to beat
absolutely.
Whoever Mississippi State or Pittsburgh, whoever it is, and then Xavier or Kennesaw Mountain Landis State in the second round. And have Iowa State here versus whether that be Texas or A&M or Penn State or Colgate. Don't really care. Iowa State to be in KC. That'd be great.
I'm not really losing sleep over, like, oh, man, Arkansas's in 8 is tough. Because it is.
Yeah.
But it's like I said with Mizzou. It's like I'm saying with K-State needing to get past Marquette at some point. You're going to have to beat some good teams in the NCAA tournament. KU has the closest thing to a bye you're going to get by being the 1 seed. This isn't about deep unfairness on behalf of protecting Kansas. Yeah. It is inconsistency and frustration because the layup was right there. Mm-hmm. Just put KU at the one in the Midwest. Give him a chance, no guarantees, a chance to play in Kansas City again. And yeah, now we're rooting for Iowa State to be the local representative to play in KC, which obviously would require them upsetting Xavier, and then they would meet Texas here. Is that right? I'm looking at it again.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
they
so
would play Texas or Texas A&M or Penn State or Colgate.
Yeah.
But if the seeds hold, then yeah, it'd be Iowa State. They'd play Texas if Texas gets by A&M. But that'd be, you know what? Hey, Big 12 tournament.
Right there. Yeah, bring it back.
Houston or whoever versus Miami or Indiana or Drake or Kent State. I actually have Kent State beating Indiana. I got Miami coming out to play Houston. Sorry, Drake. Also, like a small little nugget. Auburn, if they're playing Iowa in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And then they would play the 1 seed Houston in Birmingham for Auburn. That seems a little odd that you would have a 1 seed playing at an 8 or a 9 in their home state. That's
been great. A way to fix that. Some different choices.
Oh, All right. 913-912-4810. Let's hear from those that are going to be involved in playing these games. Jerome Tang weighing in yesterday as K-State gets ready for Montana State. I really like K-State's region. I like what the path can be for Kansas State. Kentucky has the widest margin from ceiling to floor in how good they can be, or sometimes how generic they can be. They lost to Vanderbilt, and Marquette's a good team, but I think UCLA, Texas, and Arizona are better two seeds than Marquette. So Kansas State, and I know they wouldn't have played Texas in the Sweet 16 because Kansas State being a three and Texas being the two and Kansas State being a top four team taken out of the conference. But still, if you're just looking at the two seeds, I think they got the lowest of the two seeds. Here's Jerome Tang weighing in on Montana State.
I actually watched the championship game, and I know, I think, I don't want to be incorrect, but I believe like this is the first year coach there, because the last guy was really successful and went to either Portland or Portland State, one of those. I know they have history of success. If I'm correct, they went into double overtime in their semifinals. And I remember seeing probably their best player was talking with the coach about the last play that they need to run. And, you know, they was on the same page, caught a lob, back door. So, you know, I know they're used to winning, and they're excited to be in this tournament as we are. And no team in this tournament is not a good team. Everybody's played a tough schedule and had to accomplish a lot of things, and to win three games in 3 days in their league is really tough. And so that's what I know. I know we're about to play a really good team, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Kansas State should not have a problem with Montana State. And I know that seems obvious with a 3 versus a 14, but we've seen 14s beat 3s. I mean, hell, we've seen, you know, 15s beat 2s. We saw a 16 beat a 1. But if we just look at even matchups with this, Montana State is a team that is one of the worst offensive rebounding teams in the country. Kansas State sometimes struggles with offensive rebounding or with defensive rebounding. The one thing that Montana State ranks in the top 100 of causing turnovers that is an issue for Kansas State at times. Montana State, it's not going to sound great to K-State fans because of what happened with TCU. Montana State's one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country as well. K-State's like, yeah, TCU, really? Mm-hmm. Really? Well, play a little better defense.
Maybe we can fix that for you.
Yeah. And Montana State sends a lot of people to the free throw line. So, Kansas State, you know, attack, get fouled, go to the free throw line. And as long as Montana State isn't doing something out of the complete ordinary, like hitting threes, and even if they are, they're not TCU level of play that's also knocking down a bunch of threes. Okay? So, it really shouldn't be an issue for Kansas State. Montana State's played two teams in the top 100 of KenPom. They played Oregon and lost by 30. And they played Arizona and lost by 21. Those are the two teams they played in the top 100 of KenPom. Take care of business. Get ready for either Providence or Kentucky. One of the two. And then head to New York. Head to New York and have some fans there and see what happens, because in New York, I have no clue who's going to be there out of the East. And oftentimes, like, you look at a region and you go, there's going to be carnage. There's going to be carnage in that region, and sometimes it ends up being chalk. Like, I thought this was going to be the craziest region, and it's all chalk. But I don't believe in Purdue. Purdue is a team that somehow is always in close games. It just seems like Purdue, even if they're that much better than the other team, somehow it's a close game here. They're like, oh, Purdue won by 4. Oh, good for them. They found a way to win by 4. The team has won 5 games this year, and it's February. And they beat that team by 4? Oh, they won by 3. That's a, you know what? They found a way to win. They just seem to allow teams to hang around. that's going to get you beat in the tournament. That'll get you absolutely beat, and it'll get you beat early. And Memphis is a team. Florida Atlantic is really good. They don't have the resume because they don't have enough opportunities. And Memphis has played a number one seed in this tournament. They've got four games against a one seed. And they lost by three at Alabama. On the road in Alabama, they lost by three. And then they played Houston three times this year. So with Memphis, they've played three games against one seeds. Four games against one seeds this year. And they beat Houston just yesterday.
Yep.
In the conference championship.
Lost them by two when they played very near the end. It might have been the last game of the regular season.
And they played them earlier in the year, right?
And lost by eight when Houston was number two. All three of those Houston games were relatively close together. Yeah. That's a weird scheduling quirk. But.
So in the four games they've played against teams that are number one seeds, they lost by 8-3, 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And won the game, and W-O-N. 8-3-2.
Three to Bama.
Yeah. Lost by three to Bama, lost by eight to Houston, lost by two to Houston, and then beat Houston.
Yep.
And that's who Purdue may face off, or they might go up against a Florida Atlantic team. That's the metrics love what Florida Atlantic does. So I don't know that Purdue is going to be in New York, honestly. I have no idea. And I really like Matt Painter, and I'd like to see Matt Painter and Purdue make a run. For a one seed, make a run would be the Final Four.
We've discussed this. We've
said terms. What make a run means. For Missouri, make a run would be the Sweet 16. K-State, make a run would be Sweet 16, Elite 8.
Elite 8 would feel like a run as a three seed. I think you're all right.
Yeah.
It's overachieving your seed line, barely.
Yeah. I feel like the 3-2 kind of, I think we talked about it, kind of has to get to the Elite 8 to really, quote unquote, make a run.
Definitely Elite 8. For it to be a run.
But I think Duke might come out of New York and go to the Final Four. Kansas State can absolutely go to the Final Four this year.
Tennessee would be such a funny pick if you just didn't watch them play Missouri.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about, if you really want to complain about KU. I mean, let's get into how the committee screwed KU. I mean,
let's do that. Let's take an exorbitant KU, amount of time.
KU got the top number two seed, according to the committee.
Disrespectful.
KU got the second best three seed, according to the committee.
Unreal.
KU got the top four seed, according to the committee.
Flagrant.
And KU is playing the second best eight seed, according to the committee, in the second round if they get there. I mean, it's absurd. And Purdue, they're playing the worst two seed, and they're the last number one seed, so they should play the best two seed. They're playing the worst two seed, the third lowest three, sorry, Kansas State, it's just how the committee ranked them, and then they've got the second best four seed, but that's Tennessee without Zakai Ziegler, without their starting point guard, is the four seed that they're facing off against. It's ridiculous! And I got a bone to pick.
Can't believe college basketball hates Kansas still. Thought for sure after last year they'd stop rigging it against them.
Where do you have Kansas State going? How far do you think? If you're predicting, but also, let's say a range. Say a range. Because I think Final Four to second round is the range for Kansas State.
Losing to Montana State would be really deflating.
See the matchup. Like if they're going up against,
I think you're right.
Like if this was a matchup where it's like, oh, it's a 14 seed that buries a bunch of threes, turns teams over, and just attacks the offensive boards. I'd be a little concerned for K-State in a 3-14 matchup. That ain't what Montana State does.
And if it was Arizona or Texas or maybe even UCLA down there as their two seed, you could say, oh, they really would just, they'd need to play their best basketball. And how often have we seen them do that lately? But I don't know that that's as true for Marquette or for Purdue even as you've already laid out. So, despite the fact that I feel like I have had my confidence in Kansas State shaken a little bit, even with that, I don't think there's a team in their region who outclasses them. And so then, they absolutely have a Final Four shot.
Yeah. And Marquette, they won the Big East tournament. They dominated Xavier, just absolutely dominated Xavier. They were up by like 25 at one point. They ended up winning by 14, but that was just a dominant performance. But they got by St. John's in overtime, and then they beat UConn by two.
It's such a fickle sport, man.
Yeah. Make or miss. Make or miss game. St. John's makes a basket here or there, and we're talking about Marquette is not a two seed by losing in the first round of the Big East tournament to St. John's. It's firing their coach and going to hire Rick Pitino once he gets done with his tournament run after beating UConn and playing Kansas in the Sweet 16 after they beat St. Mary's or VCU.
As long as those are night games.
And it's Iona versus Kansas, Bill Self versus Rick Pitino. In the Sweet 16.
That'd
be fun.
Yeah,
and then, you know, head to be the St. John's coach and stay in New York.
The transitive property doesn't work in any sport, really. You know, you can try. Eventually, you get 3 weeks in the NFL season. Everyone's already beaten. Everyone's like, how the hell did that happen so fast? But it's really true in college basketball, which is what makes all of the bracket stuff fun. Mm-hmm. And it's why I'm really going to try this year, even though this is what I think bit Beards a few years back. I'm going to try to just follow the... Yeah, I could see it. Kind of energy of some of the upsets that where I do think that, again, mm-hmm. you don't – the team that clearly – the number one overall and clearly the team that deserved that spot is a team with a fundamental concern around them. And I mentioned it earlier, but – and I'm not making up. Again, it's something that Myron mentioned. Alabama's going to have national media poking around them for the first time. This isn't going to be school controlled. This is going to be people asking these tough questions. And I don't know that that's going to make them a worse basketball team, but it's something else to be ready for and to prepare for them to have to deal with based off of, you know, their own participation and mishandling of so many of these things. But I don't feel like there's a stone cold lock anywhere in this tournament, which might be true more often than not.
The reason I have Marquette beating Kansas State in the Sweet 16 is because Marquette is one of the best teams in America at turning teams over and getting live ball turnovers that result in buckets. This is where we come back to something that's been talked about a lot with Kansas State.
Ooh,
and that is this breaking news.
Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be a Raider.
Good for him. Good for Jimmy G. Jimmy GQ. Good for him. They go from Derek Carr to Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay.
It's cool for the Raiders,
at
least.
For Mike Garoppolo.
Garoppolo reporting on Garoppolo?
No relation.
Okay.
This is really good for the Raiders, I think. They just upgraded from the third best quarterback in the AFC West to the third best quarterback in the AFC West.
I don't think the Raiders can beat Kansas State in the Sweet 16.
I think it's going to be really, really tough.
And I know they are all professional athletes. I'm still taking K-State over the Raiders and their basketball team. But the reason I picked Marquette to beat Kansas State is that Marquette can just, they turn you over as much as anybody in America.
Yeah.
And if Kansas State limits turnovers in that game, then yeah, I think they're in the Elite Eight. I think they can do that. I don't trust them to do that against one of the best teams in America at exposing the biggest weakness of Kansas State. Now, they would have to get there to the Sweet 16. But again, I like the matchups there for Kansas State to be in New York.
I do, too.
And you know what? If you're Kansas State, if you're Jerome Tang, if you're K-State fans, give me a shot. See what happens. Can they protect the ball, knowing that they've had all week to prepare for what Marquette's going to bring at them and Shaka Smart, knowing that turnovers are going to be an issue? You don't want to force the issue. A bad shot's better than no shot, all right? So don't turn the ball over. And if you're going to turn the ball over, throw it into the third row. All right, and go set up your defense. Live ball turnovers, points off turnovers, things Marquette does really well. You take your chance with that one. And obviously, we've talked a lot about KU and what they can do. And Missouri, just beat Montana State and see what happens. I think it's an awful, awful matchup for Missouri against Arizona. It's the two seed that I did not want Missouri to have in their region. But you know what? They're a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament, so you ain't getting complaints from me on whoever they were to face off against in the second round if they beat the 10 seed.
Stop complaining, Jason!
2-point favorites
over
Missouri right now.
Stop complaining about how hard your life is because of the bracket seeding.
Utah State, 2-point favorites. Missouri's a 2-point dog. K-State's an 8-point favorite over Montana State. And KU, 21.5 over Howard. Also, if you're looking at like the totals, the three highest totals in the tournament's first round. Number one, Gonzaga Grand Canyon. Number two, Arizona Princeton. Number three, Missouri Utah State.
Get some buckets.
By the way, Sacramento on Thursday, back-to-back games. You have the second and third highest totals in Vegas for what those games are going to be. A lot of points scored in Sacramento with Missouri, Utah State, Arizona, and Princeton. So we'll see. And then Gonzaga Grand Canyon is going to be a barn burner. It's just going to be points after points after points after points after points. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then the winner of that's going to get in a wrestling match with TCU if TCU beats Arizona State or Nevada. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
You're in the zone.
All right, welcome back here in the zone on ES. I did it.
With Jason Anderson.
Right out of the gate.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, what's the breaking news there, Josh?
From Ari Marov, My Sports Update tweets, source, former Chiefs right tackle Andrew Wiley plans to sign a three-year, $24 million deal with the Washington Commanders, reuniting him with OC Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, Eric Bieniemy, he'd be good for him, dude.
3 years, I don't know what the guarantees are there, yeah, but 3 years, $24 million.
Congratulations to Andrew Wiley, man. That is awesome. Very, very happy for him that... Think about that. A guy who was a rotational offensive lineman, interior rotational offensive lineman, gets moved to right tackle because of injuries that were unexpected. And now he's parlayed that into a three-year, $24 million contract.
He might make more money at signing than he'd made in his career up until that moment.
Yeah.
Pretty good day for Andrew Wiley.
Now he can go and catch them all, playing some Pokemon.